You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. Next up is Calculated Conversations with David and Ken.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Here to Stay, an artist book fair the weekend of November 2nd through 4th at Matter in Portland. Here to Stay is a celebration of publication as art. The opening will be Friday from 5 to 9, and weekend events include tea tasting, book fair, art exhibition, and more. Participants include Just Seeds Artist Cooperative, Signal Fire, Eberhardt Press, Works Progress Agency, and many other artists, writers, and activists. Again, that's Here to Stay, an artist book fair the weekend of November 2nd through 4th at Matter, 811 East Burnside Street, number 124 in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The Federal Communications Commission is looking to change policy, which, if passed, will cause serious and potentially catastrophic local regulatory and funding problems for cities and community media nationwide. Our friends at Open Signal, Portland's cable access community television and media arts center, have provided us a lot of information on how the change of fees charged to cable companies will impact the city's ability to negotiate franchises that include public benefit and how the public resources will become private. There is also information on how to contact the FCC to provide public comment. Information is at kboo.fm/opensignal2018.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Good evening. We back. This is the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. I'm your host, D. Jeff. That's Dave Jefferson. Your co-host, Ken Jones, is in the house.
Yeah, I thought you was about to say DJ something.
I know. I was going to say DJ Jazzy Jeff or something. That's what I'm going to start using. But yeah, what's up with you, man?
Not too much. We here. I noticed... I feel like all the, when the seasons be changing and we get around the time when the time... gonna flip, it's about to fall forward. Yeah. And it seemed like it's just one day and then the next. I didn't realize it was this dark. Was it this dark this early yesterday? Maybe I just wasn't paying attention, but I felt like today got dark way faster than any other day previous to this day.
Yeah, man, it's moving, it's moving in pretty quick on us, man. That's the beauty of being in the Northwest, I think.
Yeah, people gotta start wearing reflectors though over on these side streets.
Right.
Be so busy over here at all these little popping bars.
Right, exactly. Halloween has snuck up on us. That's supposed to be in a couple of days.
Man, that's tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah, one of my friends said some dude pulled up on her with like six missing teeth and smiled out the window. She was like, he got his nerves. I was like, you sure that wasn't just his Halloween costume? It could have been a pumpkin or something, you know, like.
Hey, it is a night to be able to get away with any of that. You can just be your natural self. That's what tomorrow, my oldest should be 20. That's crazy. I had shot up there Sunday.
So let me, your oldest?
Yeah. Let me tell you this little adventure. So for her birthday, I ended up gifting her a vehicle. And she had been wanting one of my cars for a few years now. So she's turning 20, I figure, you know. Put her on right quick, but I had to tow it up there, so I had to hook it up to the back of the truck and run it up there. Mind you, I've never towed nothing. Call a tow truck if I need something towed. This is an experience. So a Seattle trip is what, a 3-hour there, 3-hour back. This adventure took almost 12 for the whole the whole run. And the first real rain and thunderstorm slash hailstorm all happened on my very first time trying to hook a trailer up and carry it state to state. Bro, the adventures. And it was one of those days, just the calamity of all I could do was laugh, you know, at this trip. But in the end, she got it. She was juiced. And it was a dopeness of just knowing I knew what was going on to make that happen.
Right.
All she saw was the presentation and got to have a moment. You know what I mean? So it was all good. Got back home and curbed the hardest. And then we're here.
And then we're here.
And we're here.
And you're gonna, be somewhere else right after this.
Man, right back after this. On a roll.
Right. So we you know, this ain't the only thing we do every day, man. Like we do like a lot of like a lot of business, a lot of family stuff.
Right.
You know, just a lot of having to be in the city in different counties, man, trying to make sure the business get taken care of. But, you know, we make sure we rush down here.
You're righteous.
All right. Smash past traffic lights.
Right, that's why I was like, I
didn't want to. I had to catch myself. I said, am I on radio? I forgot. But, yeah.
I be going back and forth about putting it like a calculated sticker or something on the car, on the window. Cause I be thinking about them drives over here. Don't want to get pinpointed and called out.
Right. So, man, so you put the work in on that. I like the it's a good message up in that, you know what I mean? It's like the outcome, you know, the calculation, the work you put in on it, the trailer, getting it set up. I mean, right. She might not have known all that, but.
Right.
And I know, like, when you put things together like that, sometimes, you know, you got second thoughts, like, man. You know what I mean? But in the end, when you see the results and the response, I think you realize how well worth it was and that you would do it again, you know?
Oh, yeah, always. Something else that was kind of dope, so. I remember I was telling you off air a couple weeks back, I got a box my pops had sent to me that had been sitting up in the attic since like my teenage years.
Right.
Anyways, in this box, I had also wrote her a letter I completely forgot about. I wrote her when I was 17 going on 18. I wrote her a letter for her to open on her 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely forgot about that, so it didn't happen on her 18th, but I wrote it. And gave it to her.
I seen you post that. Yeah.
Right. And what's crazy is I had no idea. Like I even gave her the forewarning. Like I was 18 at the time. Like I was younger than you are right now when I wrote this, or 17 going on 18, somewhere in there. But I was like, I was younger than you right now when I wrote this. So I don't know where I was at, what kind of information I was giving you, but I'm sure it was something solid, right?
Right.
And I told her to read it later because she cracked it open and it was like a couple pages. So I was like, yeah, you ain't got to sit right there and just read it on the spot. But on the drive back, get about 30 minutes out of town, and she had messaged me just to check, see where we was at on the route, and told her we was close or whatever. And then I asked her, you know, if I had said anything wow in the letter, and she had said her response was like, that it made her cry happy tears. She said, we talked about guys in the keep, you know, your right. good friends around you.
Right.
And also to work towards your dreams and not let anything get in the way of that. And she said she thinks she really needed that in that moment, just because it's her trying to figure stuff out after high school, been just a whirlwind. And then also taking that time to apologize to her for, you know, missing out on that period of her first few years of life due to a vacation that I took for a little while. And you know, she said that really stuck with her right then, and just, you know, reminded her of just how important this relationship is, that's not, you know, how things stayed, and let that distance and, you know, that separation at that point affect our relationship after that point. So I felt like it did exactly what it needed to do, and that was I feel like that made everything beyond worth it. And my advice, people out there, write your kids letters for 18 and 30. Those are two, I think, pivotal moments in age and understanding. Because your 18-year-old self thinking, I'm grown.
Right.
Here's the world. You know what I mean? And just to give something at 30 is when you go to reflect of what you thought you knew at 18, 21, 25. You know what I mean? And so that experience, and I think the idea that, you know, getting that giving that perspective and letting them also see how you were thinking
right
this many years ago. Right. You know what I mean? So just a little tidbit.
Well, I think that's in my opinion, I think that's kind of the beauty of the growth, just kind of the process of like transcending into maturity and adulthood, right, and being able to make decisions.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's important for people to realize, you know, it's not just time that, you know, makes you an adult, makes you mature. Right. You know, it's the things you do in that time, the lessons you learn, the adjustments you make, the attention to experiences. You right. know what I mean?
The
like
attention.
And being able to make the adjustments based off those. You know, it's like the reason, and I like that 18 to 30 thing, because the reason why, you know, parents or kids need parents is because obviously they don't, you know, they're not at a point to where they can maturely make these decisions
right.
and calculate, you know, right. and consider the long-term effect, you
right.
know what I mean? And so that's a good reason why we're there, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, to help them build these formulas, you mm-hmm. know, and as they start to grow older, you know, mature and have experiences, you know, they start to make decisions and start to understand how certain actions lead to certain decisions. And this mm-hmm. is when we should be becoming adults, and now we're able to teach these things too.
Right.
You know, and so the point is, just because somebody 45 with a gray beard don't mean he a grown man.
Right.
That's the main point. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, the interesting thing is, and I bring this up often because, you know, I got all these grays and, you know, I'm a fresh 34. I ain't even been 34 a whole 2 months now. Right. And, you know, my oldest daughter, 20 years old tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And understanding that I've been a parent longer, over half my life. this is what I know. And the idea of what I knew then, trying to raise a kid, which I think, you know, me and the kid's mom did a great job at hopefully not damaging too much. But I do feel like I've sat down and had some thoughts with myself about what I would have been like being a fresh parent at 30.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. As opposed to growing up in certain ways with the kids. I think, you know, luckily for the situation, me and the kid's mom was both, you know, pretty mature for being young, you know, with at least a piece of family support in there. But there's still certain things that just come from experience. And you got to actually be out here and live a bit. Because it's things that, you know, I've definitely, my kids have been exposed to things that, ways that I went about dealing with frustrations and whatever it may be. It's just, it's a lot that was exposed in a period of time of me trying to figure things out. And in the moment of feeling like, you know, these were the best things and to make whatever happen that needed to happen at that point in period. But coming up to, you know, this age and thinking of the conversations that I have with my kids at this point, if these were the type of conversations and this was the level of understanding I was at, you know, when they were 2, 3, 4 years old. And of course, better late than never is what I feel.
Right.
I do think that, you know, my kids is gonna have a crazy dope balance because of the way, you know, that they were raised and the things that been presented on both sides from the parents and given to them. So I definitely, you know, I think I'm saying that to say, you know, being a young parent doesn't automatically mean your kid's gonna be trash. You know, people have this idea that being a young parent, you just won't know what to do. Like, no, we, like anything else, you're gonna figure it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just sounds crazy. Cause like, I look at Karma and be like, I was just a few months older.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when I had, and I can't even wrap my mind around somebody barely, you know, having to be reminded to do the simplest of things sometimes,
right,
being responsible for another life.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, man, I got a question, man. I think it's a pretty cool question. And and I'm hoping that some of the listeners can relate to this. So you being a young parent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which means that, you know, like you having this responsibility a lot younger than a lot of parents mm-hmm. have to. You know, like, were you 15 or 14?
I was 14. Fresh 14. Fresh 14.
Well, you're supposed to be in ninth grade, but
I was in face paint because I was dead presidents the Halloween that my little brother came around the corner like, "Dad said, come home."
Right.
And went, and that's when I found out, like, oh, Destiny's here.
So, question. So, what do you think about what about the line between trying to raise your child? You know, because there's some parents have to consider to try to give the child, you know, like kind of like the best of all worlds, I guess. You know, discipline, friendship, and love. You know, and where that line is. And knowing that, you know, because I feel like a lot of adults have issues with their children, because a lot of times I think their children think that their parents are their friends.
Hold on.
So I know you got some for me, but yeah, you know, I see a lot of people with this issue, like, you know, like especially in a single parent household,
right?
Because you only got one gender raising, you know, and no matter what, you still need both genders, right? Technically, you know, but when that's not available, and like, you know, a lot of times the parent has to remember to keep the line kind of fine between, I'm your parent, but I still love you, and I'm gonna teach you love, but I'm gonna still, you know, do what I gotta do to make sure you discipline properly.
Right.
And for the child to be able to hear both of those messages loud and clear, to kind of fear and respect and love their parent all simultaneously, right, and not just have one aspect of, right, of that. You know what I mean? Like, what is a parent, like, what suggestions do you have? Like, what do you use to make sure that line is not blurred? They know who you are, but they know that we can still have fun and joke, but during these times, ain't no joking, and you still need to fear me in certain on certain levels.
Right. So, I make it a very well-known point. We're not friends.
Right.
Until you're an adult, we're not friends.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong, I have so much fun. Like, I laugh. My kids, like, crack jokes. They clown me. Like, we enjoy, right? One of the things, and I'm throw this in here right quick, is, like, growing up, you know, my pops, and I didn't understand it until I was grown. As a kid, I have no recollection of my dad ever laughing. No matter what. Like, I could be bent over, tears, saliva coming out of my mouth, choking, laughing. He would give a smirk, maybe, or maybe a huh. That was it. And I used to kind of like, what? And as an adult, I remember asking him. And he told me, like, you know, what I was going through at that point, like, it wasn't too much that I could find to really, you know, get me there. And I understood it. As an adult, I understood how that could happen, and especially knowing what he was dealing with. So fast forward as far as me dealing with my kids, like, I have so much fun with that. There's always been this balance, because my you know, as far as my upbringing, certain ways of things maneuvered, it was like polar opposites as far as how I dealt with each parent, right? Because it was a certain way that each parent dealt with me. You know, I've never talked to my kids in like a baby talk. I've always talked direct. We have conversations even when they're young, before being able to talk, and they're just making the sounds and the faces and whatever body noises. It's just conversation, right? Also, as soon as my kids were able to tell me no, that means you understood.
Right.
Stop. When you're telling me stop, or you're telling me no, then that means you have an understanding.
Right.
So at that point, that's where it's like those
so you know,
boundaries start now being set up. You know, okay. That's kind of how I, even being young, right, is it was like, you know, these ideas that I'm probably in the real small minority. Like, I don't have an experience with my kids stomping away.
Right.
I don't have an experience with a slam door, a fallout at the store, or the mall. Like, no.
Right.
And to this day, I mean, you know, people always comment. My kid could be mid jump, and if I say get over here, that's gonna stop, and they coming over.
Right.
My kids don't say what, you know. You hear me call Carmen? Yes, Dad. And again, it's not military style, because I give a lot of leeway. My thing is with the kids, it's like, be kids, do whatever. Let's have fun and enjoy, but understand that I'm not your friend.
Right.
This parenting and my rules, you know, they definitely come first. Right. But one thing that I did, and I've always approached, and I think this is the big difference, is I've always given my kids the platform to explain themselves.
Mm.
And what I used to hit them with, and still to this day, make that make sense to me.
Right.
If it's logical for their level of understanding, then you can get a pass.
Right.
If you just hit me with the, I don't know, no, you did that. So you explained to me what made that valid for you to think that was okay.
Right.
You know, so those are kind of, you know, some of the approaches in there. But I think it is this understanding that these conversations that have to be had of setting your expectations. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, put it on them like these are the things I do have expectations right. when it comes to you. Whether you want to live up to it or not, you know, there are certain standards as far as how things are going to operate. There's right. chores, right. you know, there's right. responsibility. I'm not just, and don't get me wrong, I'm a sucker like most people are for their kids. Right. You know what I mean? Right. But at the same time, there's definitely, you know, this boundary that's there. Now, becoming an adult, you know, I toy with this because I'm like, you know, we're like with my oldest, it's still the same dynamic. Like nothing's changed. But I see, you know, where it's tight because her and her mom is more on that level where it's more of like a friendship thing.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
At times that's kind of conflicted me as far as how dealing, because I'm the bad guy.
Right.
you know, for being the one initial or her being, I told her to ask you. And it's like, so I'm being put, which I'm not tripping. You can be mad at me, but understand there's a reason behind
right.
why I'm shooting this idea or this thought down, you know?
And there's a reason why she shot you to me and didn't answer you.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She don't want to bear that accountability.
Right. And I get right. it. I'm okay. I'll take that role, but I definitely think there's, you know, it's this balance. And that's where having that open channel to communicate, validate the kid's feelings. That's something right. I think I've done a halfway decent job of doing through my parenting, just because recalling my feelings of being shut down mm-hmm. and feeling like nothing I said ever made sense, like
right.
nothing, and being just, you know, some of the things we all grew up with, just some craziness. I just think the 80s was wild.
Crazy. Right,
But yeah, so it's just those approaches, right. two things that I think really help, and you have to stand and stick, you know, just with some of the ways in which you go. And of course, every situation is different.
Of course.
Every situation is different. I understand that I can't blanket raise my kids. Karma's way different than destiny. Destiny's way different than can do's. It's, and so I know these are my kids, so I know what works with who.
Right.
You know, the same things don't affect karma. I can take her phone a month. Not gonna ask for it back. She's not that kid to just. I've taken her door off before.
Okay.
Never asked for the door back.
Right,
like, just
right.
it don't. There's nothing. Like, she's just going with it,
right.
and that's like, you know. So having to find alternative things that actually affect her.
Right, right,
you know,
right,
it's like
right.
So whereas the other kid, it's like, you know, that's the end of the world taking one of those things. But so I know that doesn't work for her. That might work for Ken. That might work
Ooh.
For Destiny. It's not working for her. And I think, you know, being able to pick up on just some of that kind of stuff, putting your foot and having your line and have that understood that line doesn't get crossed. And no matter how much right. fun we're having, I'll stop the fun. We don't do that.
Right.
We can stop right now, just so you're aware. Now we can get back to it.
Right,
we can get
right,
back
right,
to it. Now
right.
we're back on that side of that line. Let's get back to it. And you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be extra. Like that's
right.
that's where this thing, I think that idea where you were saying the respect, it's
right.
it's a difference of respect, and then having that fear. Of course, there's a piece in there where it's like, to this day, my dad, I don't recall too many times of my pops yelling at me. My dad would start talking real low. That would shake me.
Right.
And you know, and then you get the flip side where it's like, you know, my mom, I didn't take none of it serious. It's always hooting and hollering, so
right.
always threatening. It's like, well, we'll do it then. Like,
right,
this
right.
Point, just
I'm
do
tired
it.
Of you threatening me.
Right, like, that's great.
Man, yeah, I went through that too, though. I just think it's an important conversation. So I'm super glad you started talking about that because it had me thinking about, you know, plenty of conversations that I've had. You know, I've had people just kind of contact me before and ask me for advice or something,
yeah.
you know, single mothers or something,
right,
you know.
Right.
And I know it's tough to raise a boy, you know, and it's even tough to raise girls, you know.
Man.
Like, I mean, the thing is, I don't know, I just think that a lot of times just both parents is necessary, you know. And I know
yeah.
they both gonna kind of sit on one, on a heavier side of the seesaw as far as friendship, you know, love and discipline.
Right. Right.
You know, and I feel like men usually sit more on the discipline side,
right.
and a lot of times females are more nurturing, so they typically are, they love to express love a lot
mm-hmm.
more, you know, and a good balance of
right.
to keep a kid solid. But when you only got one parent, it gets complicated. And you know, what I try to tell some of my friends, you know, especially with little boys, because I remember being a boy,
right.
and I honestly remember the only thing that kept me in line, honestly, was just, I think, the fear of my mother. You know,
yeah.
like, And as I got older, I'm trying to figure out, how does she teach me so much love and fear at the same time? You know, and she kind of got me stumped because she scared me from doing a lot of things, but she also encouraged me to be great simultaneously. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I don't really, and now that I think about that and all the morals, I was kind of, she kind of pressed on me with the always say please, always say thank you, always say you're welcome. Like, she just forced me to say this stuff all my life, and now I can't stop saying it.
And how valuable that is.
Yeah.
Like, to this day, my daughter thanks me for dinner every night.
Right.
Every time we sit down to eat.
That's wonderful.
It's before, bye, and thank you. It's little stuff like that. And I'm the same. It's thank you, please, excuse me. You know, that's always been.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting how that, you know, it flows through, and it's ingrained in and just how valuable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't know it. And you're younger, you think it's a little bit rough. Like, you kind of like owe me. You kind of owe me a little tough, mom, ain't you? You know, and then as you grow older, you be like, man, she was setting me up to be successful out here and to be able to embrace people and embrace the idea of love.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which is the only reason why I think that I'm even able to do a show like this and even look at the things the way that I do. I think she helped me notice the importance of love, you know, and a lot of the things about being a male and a man and a mature man was mostly things I had to learn in the streets, you know, and then I had to change as I got older because my experiences weren't desirable.
Right.
You know, and that's the beauty of growth, and that's what I'm talking about, you know. Even if you don't have, you know, a father in the house or you're missing one of the, you know, parents, I mean, it may take a little bit longer, but, I mean, a lot of those things can help you. It'll still kind of resonate, I think, with the child, even without me having a solid male figure, like, own me every step of the way as I'm growing up. Like, in the end, I got back to the love that she showed me, and I think that helped me mature as a man.
Right.
And it helped me be more transparent. It helped me, you know, it helped me not really care about endorsing toxic masculinity.
Right.
I don't really care about that stuff, you know. And so, and another thing, man, especially with teenagers, you know, and you probably know this as well, but, you know, but you're a strong father, so you may not have too bad experiences with that. But I know a lot of people get to a point to where when their kids start getting in high school, you know, this is where a lot of the talking back starts to come. This is where a lot of the challenging my answers, your mom's or dad's answers start to come. And a lot of this is, and a lot of this, I think, is because, like, they weren't set up from jump. See, I think you got to set this up from jump.
I fight kids.
You know, I seen a lot of parents say that I fight kids, but, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, would you agree that maybe, like, if you kind of let this lack of discipline go for so long, they'll get to a point where it's just too late and now they got to be disciplined by society.
So that's something, this is something, and I've pressed this on people, and again, everybody's going to raise their kids, and I know that that's a sensitive area to try to talk to somebody about their parenting. That's where, when I'm having conversations with people with their young kids, whether it's, you know, boy or girl, and they're being extra and there's really no repercussion outside of just don't do that. Well, clearly your don't do that is not working. And then there's going to become a point where you're too big. I can tell you right now, I remember where I was standing the last time my mom hit me, and I just stood and stared at her. She flipped out, went, grabbed something else, and gave me the whole spiel about bringing me in this world, taking me on out. But that was it for me. She couldn't, therefore, there was no more intimidation coming from that. And that's where a lot of people are going to end up running into that, where this kid been able to have their way, basically.
Right.
And now you're trying to put the foot down at 13, 14. Like,
exactly.
No, they don't, they've been doing this since forever. Now, no, that's not going to work like that.
Right.
You know, and at least that's my experience. Let me not say it's not going to work. In my experience, that always goes bad.
Right.
Very bad.
I've always seen it go pretty bad, you know, and in the end, it's like they end up, a lot of times I feel like I've seen people like this, like, going to talk shows and saying, I can't control my kid, but it's like you've never, I mean, you know, and a lot of times it's just like you let them reign free for so long, now that they almost your same size, you know what I mean? Now you want to enforce the rules, and it's like they don't, you're just a friend, you're a roommate, you're a buddy, you're a brother, you're a sister now, you know, and I've never known you for discipline, and at this point, I mean, I can't let you start now. Shut up. Shut up, Mom.
Shut up.
Get out of my room. Shut my door. You know, but this is the real stuff, though. I just wanted to kind of have these conversations. If anybody is going through anything, if you want to call in. I know we got Talanda on the line. Is she still on? We're going to bring her on in a second. But the number is 503-231-8187. Don't hesitate to call in. Give us your experience, your advice, your opinion. You know, whatever it is you want to contribute to the show will be greatly appreciated. So let's bring in Talanda.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Talanda, with the good news, what's happening?
How goes it?
It's great. It's great.
It goes. Gosh, you guys have truly done it again. I wasn't sure how to gauge or where to jump in, but me and Layla were just sitting here listening to that, to your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And she's six, and I don't know if you guys know, but I am a single mother, and yes, her father is in prison for 10 years, and he has about 6 more years or so to go. With that being said, in our household, the voice and the tone of the male goes, what would you say? It's just not present.
Right.
So just for her to sit here and actually hear you guys, and Ken, as you were speaking, for one, thank you for sharing that awesome letter that you wrote, you know, even years ago. I would love to see what, you know, what you actually wrote in there, if that's a public access.
Right.
But she's sitting here and she's speaking to me, and she's listening to you speak and share your story. And she's like, Mom, you don't have boundaries.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh my goodness, like at 6 years old, if you can say that to me, then that means that I need to make some adjustments. So thank you for for saying that. And she's like, Mom, yeah, you don't have boundaries. You just yell, or you just do this, or you do that.
Really?
And so I'm, yeah, I know.
What?
So thank you. And like I say, I know me. Yeah, I'm sorry, I yell from time to time. But yeah, so that was just so helpful to hear my 6-year-old just be able to voice that opinion openly, in her own, you know, genuine way, but
yeah,
then also for you to kind of confirm the fact that if she can understand that or interpret that, then there's time to, you know, that's an opportunity to make a change or make an adjustment to the way that I'm parenting. So
yeah,
again, I wasn't quite sure what I would get out of tonight. But yeah, that was extremely helpful for me. So again, I just wanted to get on and thank you guys again.
Know
my name.
That is dumb.
Yes.
That
so
is
even
dumb.
Just that little bit, and she's been listening to you guys too. We typically just put you guys on speaker, and our household listens to you. So again, just thank you for being present and keeping this space open.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you. We got a new little follower now. Sounds like back there.
Yes.
Cool. We appreciate you calling, Talanda. Much, much love, man, and the support of the show has been grand.
Yeah, definitely. Have a great night, guys.
All right.
But yeah, yeah, man. You know, it's a fine line, and I just been paying attention, and I've been just listening to, you know, people, kind of what they go through,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I just think about the differences, and you know, being disciplined by your parents as opposed to being disciplined by society,
mm-hmm.
you know, just mm-hmm. The whole result of that, man, and you know, and it's very important, man. I mean, we really have to, you know, there has to be a fine line, you know. You really don't want, I mean, you really don't want your child to, you know, always see you as just a friend and just somebody they can't learn from or don't have to listen to,
man.
Because if they don't fear you, typically they won't fear anybody, you know, and that could get dangerous because people out in the world are not as patient, as loving as you are with them.
That's crazy you say that.
You know?
That's crazy. I, you know, I had a conversation with, because me, especially Karma, I think her mom definitely tell you, like, even before, you know, us living together or her moving down here with me, of just how similar in a lot of ways, you know, me and her are, and a certain level of directness. You ask an opinion, don't ask if you don't really want to know, you
right,
know.
Right.
And so me and her, we're very, she'll tell me what I'm wearing looks this way,
right,
you know,
right.
This is not, no, don't, you know, she's right there. And the thing is, sometimes I'll, you know, we're having conversations and not, you know, about clothing or, you know, hair or nothing like that, but having certain conversations where I can tell I might have struck a chord. And, you know, I tell her sometimes that I care about your feelings, But overall, I don't care if I hurt your feelings with what I just said, because I'm doing this from a place of love.
Right.
Outside of this house, that'll be done for every other reason but that. Right. And so me bringing awareness to this thing or this behavior, this is from a place of love.
Right.
And having that understanding. And even with discipline, this is something I've done where I'm sure once my kids is grown and, you know, or they're all grown, I'll hear about it. But I'm that parent that I'm going to talk it out. Even after you get in trouble, I'm going to explain why this upset me, why this disappointed me, and break this down. So you don't just see me being angry about something. You have an understanding of why this had the effect that it did.
Right.
Why your actions created this.
Right.
And so that's something that's happened. I've fresh off of a whooping, like, pop, pop, pop. Okay, you done? Okay, cool. Now look, check this out. And give a rundown.
Mm-hmm.
But again, before that, because I'm not the parent to just jump to the conclusion, I always give the floor.
Right.
There's always the warning. But the thing is, I don't keep asking the same thing. If we've already made an agreement, then
That's
contract binding. So, but just have conversations. You can love on your kids. You can play. You can laugh. You can teach. You can learn. That's most important. Like, learn from these kids. They got ways of thinking about stuff. Right. That's crazy dope. But understand that, you know, they need a parent.
Right.
They can find friends everywhere that's their age. You know what I mean? And you can be there. Be their biggest support system. Be all these things that they need as children, but we're not equal until you're in the world and You're on your own, taking care and doing what you need to do to be, in my eyes, considered an adult by society standards.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we can have these equal conversations.
Right.
Until then, okay, well, you know, I'm still going to be in coach mode. There may be a point where we can sit and go back and forth and shoot the S, as they say.
Shoot the swish.
Shot.
No net.
Something I wanted to touch, being that we're in the wonderful space of Halloween, is the idea of masks. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was kind of talking about, first they started off just talking about, like, how old is too old to dress up on Halloween and go trick-or-treating, right? And, you know, I'm in the mind frame that, let kids be kids as long as they can. If a 17-year-old come to mind, how if a senior come and they dressed, They gonna get some candy. Right. I'm not questioning. You gotta be dressed up though. Don't just come as a teenager. But then it went into the psychological piece of dressing up, more so with adults, And how they've done studies about people identifying with whatever it is that they chose to be for that night. And also just kind of the history of costumes and like how the sexy nurse fits and stuff didn't really hit till like the 70s, 80s when that really became a thing big, and just kind of what that's done, you know, through time. But then it made me start thinking just about the idea of like masks and simple things like shades, you know, just sunglasses, like dark tinted windows, something that's blocking you that makes you feel more free.
Right.
Able to be. Think of like a masquerade ball, where it's just something that's just covering.
Right.
But people seem, whenever you see this picture or you've been to one, it's like this, a real sexy feeling, and people seem to loosen up a bit more. Right. It's something about being covered, that brings something else out of people. And I feel like you get closer to who they would love to be.
Right. Okay.
When that's on there. And so I came across, you know, because again, just me being me looking into stuff, there's a psychiatrist, Artie Lang. He wrote, masks allow the wearer to momentarily relieve themselves of their extremely dishonest everyday masquerade of being a sound, secure, well-adjusted, happy person, and let the truth out, which could be very therapeutic for both the wearer and observer.
Really?
Now, I took that and I thought about it. I mean, went a little bit deeper, you know, in the thinking, and thought about like the idea that let's keep it with Halloween right now, right? And you think of these parties for adults. This is a day out of the year. It's almost whatever goes. Right. Whatever, you can do whatever and get away with it. Mm-hmm. And people really come out and dress up, go as, you know, whatever, you know, it's dope when people get creative, but a lot of people go as almost their alter egos.
Right.
It's not their everyday, you know, they usually go extremely opposite, but it's something about having the mask over the face. And they even did a study with, they did this with kids and they did this with teens, where they set up a candy on a porch and had a sign up about take one piece. And they found that kids and teens we're at like a 70% that had masks grabbed more than one. The unmasked kids, it was only like 20-something percent.
What?
So it's about this something else, this feeling of protection, this feeling of you can, it brings something else out of it. And it's interesting just thinking of it from the idea of like just the human condition. And, and then going further, these different type of like mental masks. That it's not so much a physical joint, but these different types. And so got to looking into that, and they actually had like a breakdown I came across. It was talking about the avoidance mask, which is that's avoiding anything that makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
To protect, you know, your sensitive self.
Right.
Then there's the functional mask, which is your, like, I'm at work, I'm at, you know, this wedding and got to be, you know, that put that mask on, get out there. That's what that is. And then there's, you know, the people pleaser mask, which is kind of self-explanatory. And that's if that's not who you are. Then they talk about the happy mask. And that's kind of the person that you never know nothing's ever wrong or anything's ever wrong, because it just always seems like they're A1. And that's, I think, where we see a lot of the things with these depression and these suicides coming up. And it's always like, how? They were the happiest.
Right.
So taking that, and then the anger mask, which was very interesting, because they were saying that that was kind of just a protection against feeling vulnerable.
Right.
And I feel like that's the most worn mask in a lot of these places.
Yeah.
A lot of these areas we're familiar with. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And then you take that into account where, you know, the idea of having to be behind to be behind, live behind a mask and not be able to be yourself. And again, you do make adjustments depending on where you're at, right? You make your adjustments depending on where you're at. Nothing drastic, but different places, different spaces,
right?
You know, different ways you gotta be. With that, there's, you ever been somewhere, bro, and then get home and feel like drained, and you might only been there like an hour, and it's just like, duh, because you had to put on this this joint to maneuver around. And sometimes it's, you know, it's you, I feel like you can either leave a function, a gathering, energized, like I'm and then there's those ones that's just like, I just want to go sit for the next month
for real.
Trying to rebuild that up and just how draining that is. And then also being behind these different type of masks, how you lose your ability to connect, because nobody actually knows who you are. So it's just feeling like I'm isolated,
right?
You know what I mean? And that's something that you gotta like really sit back and like really think on. You know, this kind of guy, that's why I got all these little notes, because they kind of, that just the idea of that podcast and them just talking, it just spiraled my mind. And then seeing people out over this last, you know, since the weekend,
couple days,
being out and having their masks on, just pulling up and parking outside the station. You know, a guy got out, I think he was a straw man. I really hope, you know, that there's, everybody comes to a point where they can honestly look at themselves in the mirror.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
Right.
Not even in the light, like sometimes in the dark, because it's not about so much what your vision is telling you.
Right.
You know, you can look in the mirror and it's like, oh, I'm this, I'm.
Right.
But to cut that off, because you can fool yourself with this exterior, I got the nice new whatever, and cut all that out and really, you know, process your mind. You remember Tales from the Hood? Crazy Clyde?
Wait, which one? The one that came out a long time ago?
Yeah, the old one, not that new. But the old one, when they had him in like the deprivation chamber. And I remember when it started going, his brain just started feeding on itself. They put him in there with no sounds, just dark and just some images, and his brain started going out based on some of these images being projected. And so I know that was an extreme example, extreme case, because he was, you know, lived a certain type of lifestyle and a lot of that stuff was coming back to haunt him.
Right.
But the value in something like an actual deprivation chamber where they got the floats, where you can go get in the pod, because that's a moment to really have to sit with your thoughts. And I hear about people not being able to even be in one of them joints for an hour, 30 minutes, because
it's too much.
And they say, like, if you're a crappy person,
it's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough. And it's just interesting to me how that works. But really trying to take, you know, time to have some self-reflection and really be real with yourself, that can be scary, I think, up front. Because there's some moments when you know, you really start breaking down why your reaction to certain things, what that's really rooted in.
Right.
And why you're not wanting to be vulnerable. Why you're not wanting to open that up. You know, even going into some of the laws of human nature joint, going into that. And they were talking about, like, you know, being upset. And it's like, are you even mad at what just happened right there? Like, and will you take the time to assess why that made you that out of character?
Exactly.
And that was, you know, that was a moment of, like, yikes. And really having to look back and again, be real with yourself. And a lot of what that's going to take you to is a time when you felt vulnerable and felt taken advantage, you know, whatever it may be, and those feelings that you try to stay away from with everything you got, as opposed to having that feeling, empowering through the feeling, because that's making you have to deal with it, you know. Repetition, I mean, you get used to anything,
and it's a good thing, man. Like, it's a really, really good thing to, like, you know, face your energy, you know, be honest. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with being imperfect or making a mistake or
making 20
or not even knowing what you're doing. That's okay, as long as
or saying you don't know.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
It's a lot of beauty and a lot of strength and a lot of power in saying I don't know or I need more information, you know. And just like society made us so skeptical about letting people know that we missing something or that we need something, you know, that we just keep it to ourselves, man. And like you said, we continue to keep that mask on, man, and eventually it's gonna fall off, man. And you know, I'm just a big fan of breaking yourself down. I've always been a big fan of that, you know, because society's gonna come and try to break you down anyway, you know. And I think it's very, very proactive, you know, to break yourself down, you know, look at your fears and look at some of your prejudices, some of your experiences, some of your own philosophies, you know, some of your loves and hates, and, you know, some of the things you don't like about yourself, some of the things you love, and just kind of put everything about you into perspective so that you know where you're supposed to be at. You know, when you do this, you get a good idea and a good kind of like a good vision of where you're supposed to be, and then you can sort of start to create a new formula or maybe like a new map or something, you know. And then when people try to come and break you down, you stop them in their tracks. Look, I already broke myself down. Let me tell you about me.
Right.
Let me, you must don't know about me.
Hey.
And I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you the things I don't like either. But I will tell you what I'm doing, you know, to rectify that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you break yourself down and then you, all of a sudden, you're not so comfortable when people want to talk to you about something you're doing. You want to hear it.
Right.
I want to hear what I'm doing wrong.
Right.
You know, let me know. Speak on it. And 9 times out of 10, most people don't know what you're doing wrong because they're trying to shine the mirror off themselves and the reflection off of them so they can highlight you. Well, let's highlight me first. I'm good with that. Let's do me first.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm ready for that.
Turn it up.
You know, and when I do this, we're going to turn this thing back around and we're going to look at your opportunities.
Right.
You're going to have to face that.
And see, that's key. You just said something key. Let's look at your opportunities.
Right. Instead of what
listeners.
Right.
Did you hear that? He didn't say your problems, your shortcomings, your flaws. He said your opportunities.
Right.
That's huge. That's a way to look.
Right.
Don't that sound so much better? Like, let's talk about your opportunities.
Right.
As opposed to, let's talk about your flaws.
Right.
Because
what are
most people's reaction going to be to your flaws?
Right.
Your shortcomings.
Right. Well, nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you?
Right. But right. This is an opportunity. Like, that's clutch.
Right.
And it's crazy how you can say that is the same thing. I had a conversation. I had a business meeting this weekend about something, and I was talking about how just sometimes changing the language.
Right.
And for the listener, like, this is an extreme example, but can we F is reworded. This is no different than can I take you out?
Right. Oh, right, right.
That's the same.
Oh, right, right,
that's
right.
The same
right.
thing in two different, one extreme.
Right.
The other extreme.
Two different parts of the timeline.
But look how you'll accept one over the other.
Right.
You see
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's the same, but it's just that. It's changing the language sometimes.
Right.
Most times. Right. You know what right, I mean? Right, especially right. when dealing, unless you're dealing with somebody at this level of understanding and openness
yeah.
to being able to be addressed right. and having this mirror held up.
I mean, you got yeah, because you got some people that just don't want to beat around the bush. You know, I'm the type of man. I just want to get to the bottom of the truth. You know, I just need information I can work with. I don't really have to like it. I don't really care if I like it right now. I need to know what needs to be done. You know, that gives me ample arsenal to create an action plan. Right. You know what I mean? And yeah. solve a problem.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise we're not solving problems. We just avoiding them. You man. Know, and if we just avoiding them, there's no way we can be moving forward.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, I don't know. That's just kind of, I'm just a big fan of like really, you know, I don't know. I say it all the time and people don't think I examine myself. And like, I'm telling you, man, I get told all the time, well, you just think you know everything. And I'm like, it's like, you don't understand. Like, I broke myself down. That's the only reason why I can even say this stuff. Because I looked at me first. I didn't look at society first. I look at me first in order to understand society.
Right.
And, you know, to understand where I fit in the bigger scheme of things. I don't know about everybody. I'm not breaking everybody down. I started with myself. And so there's not a lot of things you can really say about me that I haven't already been accountable for.
Right.
I mean, just because we haven't talked about it don't mean I'm not accountable for it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, information is information. There's certain things we need to talk about. You know what I'm saying? There's certain things that take time to get to.
And but, understand that's deeper than just being like, oh, this is something, but that's just who I am. That he's not saying that type. It's really going into it, not just writing it off of that's just how I am.
Right.
That's actually taking the same idea of having deep thought about self. And that's, you know, if I've ever identified with you, it's that.
Right.
It's that really processing how this was done, how this can be better next time.
Right.
You know, these conversations that get had, sometimes it may to the outside seem like it was great, but coming back and being like, nah, I should have did this.
Right.
You know, my actions, my reactions, how much I go over my reactions.
Right.
How much I have, you know, went over, and even taking that a step further of how many times I've had to come back and apologize.
Right.
And being okay with that. Right. Coming back and apologizing, like, how to process this.
Right.
It'd be great if I could catch it up front every time, but I don't.
Right.
But I will come back and apologize for the way in which this was done. And for to wrap that all in, I do that with the children too.
Because
I'm wrong and I make sure they know that I'm not flawless. I'm not godlike, none of that.
Right.
So I make sure that I apologize. And, you know, the one of the best compliments I've ever been given by anyone was karma. And having an explanation once of saying that I'm different than other parents because I will say when I'm wrong.
Right.
And I let her talk.
Right.
That to me, I could throw the flag in. I'm about to move to Barbados.
And that's why you're getting wise. I mean, that's why you wise as it is, man. You know, not just because
he just stung. He tried to say that's why I got all these gray hairs.
No, not because of the gray hairs. but you willing to listen? You willing to listen and learn from somebody that you actually brought in this world just to see what information you might not have.
Right.
Thus
right.
making you put more, you know, ammo in your mental about how to move and make certain decisions that might regard karma or your other brother or sister or whatever, you know what I mean? You know, and one of the things that this kind of all relate to, you know, like in the bigger scheme of things is, you know, I know why a lot of people get frustrated because, you know, just like a lawyer, you know, like, I mean, you can really like when a lawyer is cross-examining somebody, you know what I mean? They literally back somebody in the corner just by asking questions that they know is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes like people that close to me, like they probably feel that way too. But in the end, it's just allowing you to double check the legitimacy of what you're saying. That's all. And if you did the homework and you honest with yourself, you're not gonna have no problem with this. I like being in the hot seat, me personally. Please put me in that seat so I can let you know. But a lot of people find that to be extremely uncomfortable, you know, and that's because it's like these questions are all strategically getting down to a fact, you know what I'm saying, of what you actually have not been trying to disclose. You know what I'm saying? So let's disclose that first. You covered your bases, you broke yourself down. What are they gonna ask you about now? You know what I mean? And so you gotta flip it around on them, you know, with strategy. And you know, and the best way to do it is just be real. It don't mean be perfect or be right all the time. It just means be real and be upfront about what you honestly know.
Right.
And this is the way you know, we start to get to the bottom of the line. Like, even if you in going through, you know, court or something. But you know, my philosophy personally, if anybody ever asked me for advice before, or if anybody ever or if I ever asked myself about myself in the mission to become more aware of myself and where I'm going, you have to ask questions first. Always ask questions first. Never answer a question without asking one first, so that you have the data, the information that you need to properly even assess the formula that you're using at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You have to ask these questions, because when somebody answers without asking, chances are the answers is going to be off. I mean, you need questions about the formula. Right. You know what I mean? To really, really break that down and to calculate the right answer the first time, you know. And a lot of people, and I know that we all was like that at one time, but train yourself. Somebody want advice from you? Ask them a few questions, get some background. It'll steer, the formula will start to steer you in a certain direction, even maybe with or against what you actually want to say. But the formula will tell you what direction they're going. It's just certain questions that break that all down.
So, but you throwing it out there. This is shout out to all my homegirls in my adult life who called me trying to complain about a man issue, and got off the phone probably mad at me.
Exactly. That means you're a good friend.
Right. And that's, I think that, that means, you know, you, that's care. An expectation that, you know, I think that's why people rock, because I'll go into it and start asking those, like, where, you know, where's your play in this? I need the full scope.
Right.
The Art of Communication, have you ever read that?
I have not.
So crazy. So, you know, I go to sleep. I typically, I got the little joint where I can turn my screen off on my TV, but still play the audio. Right. So a lot of times I'm even, it's either some type of frequencies or binaural beats or some audio books. So I went to sleep to some Earl Nightingale joint, woke up, went, hit the bathroom, came back in, was trying to go get back into my deep sleep, and caught an earful on this book, The Art of Communication. And I don't even know how to, this name, I don't know if it's Thich Nhat Hanh, whatever it is, Thichnhathanh. Yeah.
Okay.
And bro, like this, the breakdowns, and what I'm guessing, because the audiobook is only like 3.5 hours, so it's got to be a smaller book, because most audiobooks be like 8 hours and so on.
Of course.
And but these breakdowns in communication, and what it seems that the underlying thing in all of the lessons, all communication done with love, all communication done from the stance of actually wanting to understand, how that changes the whole dynamic of almost every conversation.
Right.
And the examples and stuff. And again, I'm only partway through. I had to go to Audible. I had to get an Audible account just so I can get not the YouTube version. I want to be able to go back to the chapter and, you know, the spot and all that. And so when did that? But any listeners out there, as far as just trying to strengthen your ability to communicate, make sure to check that out. With that, we at the end of this one. Go ahead, drop it on them one time.
Follow us at Society College.
Bam.
Instagram, Calculated Conversation Show.
Bam.
Facebook, email.
Calculated Conversation at Gmail.
Calculated Conversation at Gmail. Calculated,
Twitter. Calculated talk. Calculated everything.
Talk. Yeah. I'm expressing with my full capabilities.
And now I'm living in correctional facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. The pop chart. So where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track?
What up?
Drop English right about now. Get back to the PG. That's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians, cuz at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread yourself.